Hello and welcome to another episode of the Knock On Podcast, brought to you by Zero Tackle. And Dan, it has been a week of rugby league. Normally we will record on a Tuesday and everything will happen on a Wednesday, but tonight the rugby league gods have delivered to us. Let's start. You tell me where we're starting.
Well, we're going to start with the breaking news now. Just to blow the illusion here, we're actually recording an hour later than usual because we're waiting for these two things to simmer. Jason Demetriou has been released of his duties, which is the friendly way of saying he was sacked earlier tonight as we record this, Tuesday night by the South Sydney Board. Took two board meetings to decide.
Yeah.
About time. Had to be.
It was a hung jury in the first one. It was like 50% said keep him, 50% said sack him. And then it was kind of like the 50% who said keep him sobered up and went, we're just taking the mickey before, let's sack him. Look, they had no choice, man. They had no choice. Like, and this is a guy who has been an assistant coach for years, like, you know, following Bennett around and, you know, you just have a look at his resume, but it just looked like a coach who perhaps didn't take the right job for him on his first job. And we've seen it happen, you know, Seibold going to Brisbane after, you know, he did so well at the Rabbitohs and all this kind of stuff here. Like, I kind of think that he maybe needed to wait and just get a few more runs on the board as a reserve grade coach, because when you take over South Sydney, you are taking over a club who expects to be in the finals and wants to be competing for premierships and can lure players to the club by saying, we make prelims, we make grand finals, you know, we want to be a club full of success. And lately it's been, they're going backwards. You know, they missed the finals last year. They look like they shouldn't be in a spoon battle. And I think by the end of the year, they probably won't be. But they need to do something. They've replaced him with Ben Hornby. David Ferner has obviously come in there as well. There was a little bit of Twitter banter going around saying that Paul McGregor was coming on board as well. That would just be a horrendous decision. But this is a free ride for Ben Hornby now. He's got 16 weeks to impress them. Because, you know, Wayne Bennett's off contract and, you know, they're going to want to bring him back. But let's just talk about Demetriou at the moment. It looked like a club that went from absolutely loving him and the players absolutely loved him and they still come out and say they love him, but they may love him, but it looked like they didn't want to play for him anymore.
Let's be honest. The writing was on the wall the second Sam Burgess came out and said what he did last year.
Yep.
Because ultimately approved that Burgess was 100% spot on and they backed the wrong horse. Demetriou is a rookie coach. You know, I think he was in his second full year or third at the most. And he's got a player like Latrell Mitchell who is arguably the biggest influence in rugby league. Not the best player, not the biggest name, but he's right up there, top three and everything. Cody Walker, you know, Damien Cook. He's walked into a side of these established rep superstars who are going to say, come here, mate, actually, this is what I think we should do. What are you going to do as a rookie coach? Go, no, Latrell Mitchell, who's won Origins of Grand Finals, go sit down. No, Damien Cook, who's won the same plus a beach sprinting championship, go over there. It just, he was on a hiding to nothing, and it's 3 weeks too long. He should have gone before the Cronulla game. Because when they came out and the rumours started saying that a loss will lead to him gone, he was gone. There is no coming back for that. It's like the dreaded you have full support of the board on championship or football manager, whatever they call it now. You know you're Gornskis. The absolute sideshow of nonsense that's come through. A couple of weeks ago, you tongue-in-cheek suggested that they wouldn't bring an assistant coach in or a new coach until after they got the two losses to Melbourne and Penrith out of the way. South fans are starting to say the same thing in a very serious tone, which says to me, South Sydney, who are a proud club, no, they're going to get battered by Penrith. That's disgusting areas to your fans. That's disgusting to a coach who's coming in and saying, we know you can't beat Penrith. We don't want a loss on your record. Why don't we just, for a couple of weeks, we'll just be there? And to string Demetriou on, he knew he was done, let's be honest. He gave a really respectful, professional, yesterday by the time this drops, interview that said, I'm going home, I'm tired, I want to see the family. The day's done. Whether I'm here tomorrow, I don't know. He knew he was gone. Let's call a spade a spade. The fact that they dragged this on, they got flogged on Anzac Day, they didn't pull the trigger then. It, you know, we heard the Mal Meninga name. He was on begging for the role on NRL, whatever, on Fox Sports. And they pivoted from that. There was talk that there was a rat in South and they released the name to try and see who the leak was coming from. That would be hilarious. This is a club in crisis, if that's true. My word. I think Demetrio's handled it really well. I don't think he's done himself any harm the last couple of weeks. A lot of people are going to go and look, that was a really hard position to put you in, follow Wayne Bennett into a Latrell Mitchell run South Sydney club. I think he'd be sweet, but the stink's going to be on him for a year or two. They put him under awful conditions the last month. He should say to South, I want my full payout and then some, and I'll shut up and I'll go away. He'll have an assistant role by the end of the year.
Yeah, he'll end up at another roster. He will get another crack as an NRL coach. Like, I honestly just think that he needs to bide his time for the right role. Looking at him, looking at what he's done and what he's achieved and how he operates, I would be thinking, like, I would try and jag myself on a contender, you know, as an assistant coach, but I'd have an eye on the Newcastle job. Mm-hmm. And the minute Adam O'Brien got sacked, I'd be putting my hand up for that. I don't think you should jump up for the Parramatta role. And I don't think there's too many other roles that he could probably, you know, he could either look up or down the freeway and go, I'm going to wait for Adam O'Brien or Ricky Stewart first one to get sacked. I'll put my hand up.
Yeah, completely fair. But yeah, there'll be much more to come, as I'm sure. Mm-hmm. The other big news that broke earlier tonight was that DCE is free to play. Found guilty, whatever, got downgraded, copped a fine or something. Hamole Olakau'atu copped 2 weeks for the same tackle. What are your thoughts?
Right, the first, the banter that came out of this on Friday night when they did the press conference and Daly Cherry Evans laughed and said, oh, I was just as guilty as Hamole Olakau'atu in this tackle, like, maybe I should have been sin-binned as well. And the judiciary came out and said, well, thanks for that, have 2 weeks. When I stopped laughing on Monday about this situation, I actually got really angry. This is a guy's 313 games and never sat in front of the judiciary once. You know, never, not once. And they're going to hit him with 2 week suspension for it. Let's put it this way, for a nasty tackle, right? When the tackle first came, I thought Olakau'atu was going to get sent off. When they showed the replays of it, I thought, no, he's definitely going in the bin. And, you know, Hamole was the only one who was put on report. But the anger that I got out of this was they gave him the same grading as they gave Tana Milne. And as they gave Lachlan Galvin as a rookie. Lachlan Galvin had played 2 games. Daly Cherry Evans has played 313 games. And there was no discount. There was no thought process or anything behind it. Turning around and going, hey, this guy's been like a stalwart of on-field professionalism. And we're going to charge him with the same thing as some disgusting winger from South Sydney who intentionally tried to hurt someone's leg. It didn't sit well with me, and I think there needs to be, like, the judiciary is never going to be perfect. The match review committee is never going to be perfect, but I think there needs to be, like, discounts of continuous good games. If you're 50 games, you know, suspension for 100 games to 313 games, and this is his first charge at 35 years old, something's got to change there.
There was some people that jokingly said he should get a get out of free yellow card. And, you know, obviously that is said tongue-in-cheek, but you kind of feel like it was a minor incident. If he'd come in and coat hanging a bloke and, you know, or leg hip dropped someone disgustingly or attacked a leg or something.
If he'd done what Tana Milne had done, I can understand the 2 weeks.
Yeah, spot on. But, I mean, I didn't think he was going to be charged, full disclosure. I thought what he said was a tongue-in-cheek sort of thing. I've used that too often, sorry. And I thought, he might cop a fine. Then when they said he's out for 2 weeks, I was like, whoa, like, Olakau'atu took the bullet, and as he should, it was his fault, let's be honest. He said, oh, it was me, I did it, you know, but you can't blame two of us for the one tackle. I think Olakau'atu had to go. 2 weeks seems about right. It may be a little bit harsh 1 week, but I'm not going to argue player safety, and it was a nasty tackle. I'm glad Cherry's free to play now. He has been charged and fined.
Yeah, he's got enough money. Right, Is it wrong, though, that when they were both looking at 2 weeks, I actually looked at the draw to see if we played Manly in the next 2 weeks?
Absolutely not. Now, we go from a little bit of laugh to a very serious. Luke Keary has retired at the end of the year. My first thought was, oh, the concussions are bad. Obviously, he can't play on. Because I believe he signed 2 weeks ago a contract extension. So this isn't I've been thinking about this for months and I've just gone a year too many sort of thing. We signed for 2 weeks ago. What do you reckon, mate? I was caught off guard, I've got to be honest.
It was a little bit longer than 2 weeks ago. He re-signed in the preseason for another 2 years. And whilst I don't think... whilst he's saying it's got nothing to do with concussions, I think he is one bad one away from being pulled up and either having to go to America or sit out of the game for a little bit like that. He's only young. He's 32 years old. So he's probably, physically... he's probably got another 3 or 4 years in the, as we just said, David Cherry Evans is 35 years old. Halfbacks probably can play on a little bit longer than, most players can, but the head knocks, he's got to think of his family. He's got young children. He's got a beautiful wife. He's got his whole life in front of him. And there's just so much to think of when you are a player who has had, multiple concussions, and he's not the first and he won't be the last. He's a champion. He's a 3-time premiership winner. He's a Clive Churchill medalist. He's been a Daly M5-8 of the year, and this is another guy. Scandals have evaded him. He's never, Daly Cherry Evans, I can't remember logging on to NRL.com to see if Luke Keary is going to get suspended. You're talking about a guy who left his boyhood club to go and join the biggest rival was probably the most scandalous thing he did. And he was an awesome player on his day. Prime and peak Luke Keary is up there with one of the best, individual performance of 5-8s. AJ on Twitter turned around and said that his opening 40 minutes of the Melbourne Roosters grand final is arguably the best 40 minutes you see from an individual player, especially at 5-8. He carried his halfback couldn't lift his arm. He was brilliant.
He's freaky. It's such a shame. I said about Dal Finucane last week. I get a feeling it's been pushed on by injuries and concussions too. And I think when you look at a young family and you think, this guy can coach, he can commentate, he can go work at McDonald's, who cares?
Yeah.
But the fact is, he's got that choice. I'm glad he's gone out on his own terms. I don't buy into the rumours that the Roosters have said, oh, you got to go, so we're going to replace you. They got millions of dollars in the cap. They could have moved him on. He could have gone to England and made a mozza. He could have gone anywhere and made a mozza. Let's be honest. It's Luke Keary. I'm glad to see this. Players are taking post-game into consideration and retiring earlier than probably they'd like to. We're seeing a lot of older players, show symptoms of some pretty awful stuff. And, as bad as that is, players in this generation are learning from that. And it sucks to see a player retire, especially one who isn't 35 and, decided for 2 years, this is my last off-season. The wife and the kids want more time, or something, as they often joke about. But to see him pull up something really caught me off guard.
Mm-hmm.
And, it certainly makes the Warriors players for the next 2 seasons. I wrote in my 20 thoughts, I wouldn't be shocked to see Joey Manu go, maybe I should stay here at the Roosters. I'm still not really ruling that out. But if David Fifita isn't linked to the Roosters by the end of the weekend, then the journos aren't doing their jobs.
I've got two quick questions for you. Two trivia questions on Luke Keary. Well, one's a trivia question, one not. He's currently on 45 tries for his career. Does he make 50 before he retires?
Yes.
You're going to back him in for 5 tries?
Absolutely. 100%.
Awesome. You can do it, Luke. Second question. Luke Keary has played for 2 countries.
Mm-hmm.
Which countries are they?
Oh, it was one Scotland.
Was it?
Oh, I'm going to lock in Scotland or Ireland. Ireland. Keary's an Irish name. And he played for Australia, didn't he?
You are bang on. It was Ireland and Australia. In 2022 at the World Cup, he played 3 games for Ireland. And in 2018, he played 2 games for Australia. He also played 1 game for New South Wales as well. 63 games for South Sydney And this weekend is his 150th game for the Roosters. Well, there congratulations you go. On a stellar career, Luke. Wishing you all the best.
Now, I jumped the gun a little bit, mate, but the Roosters now have a war chest. $4 million or something, it'll become $8 million in jokes, etc., etc. How worried are you that the Roosters are just going to poach every player they want?
Not very, because that $4 million, some of it's already been used for extensions of players, some of it's already been used for upgrading players who are development players this year but full-time players next year, and some of it's been used on that rugby covert that is coming over as well, because he wasn't cheap, because he is an established wallaby. So I'm, you know, if they had $4 million, that would mean that the 24 players that they had on average of about $300,000, and you know that's complete and utter crap. I would say that they'd probably be close to $2.5, maybe $3 million in salary cap when it's all said and done that they have to spend. And I'm not real worried because I went on to Zero Tackle, which is the best place to go for all the off-contract players. And aside from Caliro and Jack Williams, there's nothing but dross off-contract.
Very, very, very true. That's come out very quickly that next year is going to be rough. But if you're a player agent, Terry, and you hear that the Roosters have a couple of million, let's just say $2 million, aren't you saying, oh, he's homesick? Oh, but the player's never been to Sydney. Yeah, he wants to. He saw a postcard. I just cannot see a world where David Fifita is in link with that club, maybe by the time this drops.
Well, there's David Fifita, and I'm going to throw a smoky out there as well and say that you are probably going to hear more and more of a certain fullback in Newcastle.
Well, almost happened before.
Almost happened before. Yeah, look, Ponga and the Roosters have flirted with each other so much. His best mate plays for him now. So that's, you know, that's if you want cheap likes, there's that. David Fifita is another one. You're going to get the Adam Fanua Blake situation, the Zach Lomax situation, the James Fisher Harris situation. So someone who's currently on contract at the moment, you know, may turn around and go, you know what? What am I doing here? I can just go over there. You know, Mike Sivo is hated at Parramatta. Maybe he'll go to the Roosters. Like, who knows what's going to happen? But yeah, look, in terms of the off-contract players at the moment, like, if you want Jaden Beryl, come get him. Just don't touch Caliro. I know they've turned around and said that they're going to stick with Sin Smith unless someone, unless a half comes off contract. I can't see anything. You know what? Maybe throw Ponga out the window. Maybe this is the time where they go and free AJ Brimson.
Very potentially. Joey Manu is supposedly looking at returning next year.
Mm-hmm. So they need to keep 500k on the books for that.
Yeah, which I think they can do, no worries, especially for Joseph Manu. Especially if they say, oh, you come back and play 5-8. Sandon Smith can get you through 15 rounds before you throw Joey Manu. It's a risk, but it's Joey Manu who brings you back to the club. Tedesco's got a year or two left. You slot him in at fullback. I'm not worried about the Roosters, put it that way. They'll sign whoever they want. I wouldn't be shocked to see him go to England. You might see, say, a Brody Croft come back or something as a part-time to get him through next year. The year after next year, as soon as October 1st hits, every single player who's off contract will be linked to the Roosters.
Yeah, but the thing is, the money, you have to, it's not as if, you can't just bank it. You have to spend it. The NRL has a rule that says you have to spend a certain amount by the start of the competition. You have to have a certain amount spent by this time, and by August 1, you have to have spent 95% of your cap. So it's not as if they can just turn around and go, well, there's $4 million, but nothing off contract. So what they can do is they can promote players for a year. You know, you might have a couple of development players and just go, oh, you know what, we can give you a couple hundred grand here or there. You can upgrade someone as well. You can throw a little bit more money at Billy Smith to stop him from going and making a bad career decision of going to the Titans or something like that. If there is a player off contract, like they can go to David Feeder and go, mate, you can get out of there anytime you want. Come to us. You can go tap Joe Tarpany on the shoulder and say, hey, look, Canberra ain't going to do a hell of a lot. Come play for us. Go get Nelson and Sofa Solomona. You know, replace Jared Ware Hargroves with Nelson and Sofa Solomona.
They've proven they can go to rugby too, and I think England's in play. But there's one thing I'm not worried about, that and that, and that's not the the Roosters' accountants are pretty clever.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a lot to say, which is why I'm going to throw it to you first. Young Tarouba, premiership winger, rookie of the year for Penrith, has supposedly signed for the Tigers.
They've announced it.
It's been announced. That's good to hear, because I heard Ivan Cleary say some stuff. Thoughts on the signing real quick?
Look, I think Tarouba is a fantastic winger, okay? They've apparently signed him as to give him first crack at centre and the backup fullback to Jareem Buller. And my first thought to that is, like, why? You've seen what he can do on the wing. Your wingers are terrible. Put him on the wing.
Makes sense, right? Now, the Tigers tried that. They signed a try-scoring rookie in Charlie Staines, who probably hasn't worked out the way we would have thought based on his debut. I don't mind the signing. I like the fact that Penrith weren't willing to break the bank, because they've proved that they can just plug in any player and they'll be sweet. So I'm glad. Good on the Tigers. Obviously, you know, Jerome Luai's going across there and they're following the Bulldogs' way of signing every Panther they can. Whether it works or not, to be seen.
I saw online that he's related to Api Koroisau as well.
Oh, there you go. He was another former Panther. So, you know, it's we talked on Fins Up on Spotify about Sir Fitz taking the Penrith game plan. Looks like everyone's trying to get it. And for good reason too. I like this because Ivan Cleary left Tarouba out, I think's putting it nicely, for Paul Alamotti, who had an absolute wow of a game. He's second for Penrith. I don't think it's any coincidence that a supremely talented player found his feet at a better run club than where he came from. The Bulldogs, with the greatest respect, are not Penrith. Came out in the game after, the post-game conference rather, and said, I left Tarouba out because he signed for the Tigers. And I was like, good. And then he continued and said, it's very draining on a young player. It's something that he's been discussing for weeks, and mentally probably, you know, and physically even. It takes a lot out of you. It's his first big contract. Great coaching. But if he left it as, I dropped him because Paul Alamotti's going to stick around for years. He's a monster. There's not a lot between the talent. I'm sticking with my boy rather than the guy that's leaving at the end of the year. It's no coincidence at all, Terry, that every good coaching decision we see, not bagging the refs, playing players that, you know, will bleed for the club and they're staying at the club, are coming from Ivan Cleary, who's got 3 straight premierships. I wish he left it at that. I'm glad he didn't, because it would have been very bitter. But if Alamotti gets called in late this week, I don't think he loses that spot for the rest of the year.
No, look, the thing, Sonia Tarouba is an out-and-out winger. Alamotti is a centre, right? Mm-hmm. And they will, you know, Alamotti's off contract. So he only signed a 1-year deal. I don't know if they've picked up a second year or whatever it is from him. But at the moment, let's just call it as it is, that he is potentially off contract as well. Tarouba's better on the wing. And I actually like the way that Ivan Cleary handled it, who said, I did drop him because he just needed to be around his family. This week was taxing, it was tolling, he was upset. He cried at training when he told the boys that he was leaving. So I've left him at Penrith to be with his family for the week, and he'll be back in the squad next week. Brilliant coaching. And Penrith are in the business of this year and next year and probably the year after of trying to win a premiership and actually having a premiership window. So Ivan Cleary will pick it. Like, he's not going to go and drop James Fisher-Harris because Fisher-Harris is going to New Zealand. He dropped Tarouba for a week because Taruva's young. Like, Fisher-Harris is so far ahead in his career compared to Tarouba. I really like that. I don't think Ivan Cleary will make it a habit of players who are leaving. You know, like, again, he's not going to drop Jerome Luhai. But I think he just did the right thing by the kid. And fair play to him. And that kid will come back and score multiple tries this year.
He's such a good coach. Now, I'm loath to say anything positive about Penrith because, you know, it's lazy and it's so easy, but everything he does is right. I'm a big Paul Alamotti fan. We had a bit of a joke a couple of years ago at his expense, you know, that wasn't about him at all. But this is a bloke that if he signed for Cronulla, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Just was no good at the Bulldogs, but I think that's more to do with the Bulldogs. Leave your comments, Bulldogs fans. I I'm sorry. More bad news, Terry. The King, Gutho, Clint Gustin, out 4 to 6 weeks. Opted for surgery, which, judging by the way that he couldn't walk at the end of the last game, I think is the right decision, not only for this year, but for his career.
Look, there was a snippet in the Telegraph, and I think it may have been written by Phil Rothfield, who said that Gutherson's future lies at 5'8 because his knees are shot. And every Parramatta fan from here to there was in the comments of that article saying, there's no way Dylan Brown's our 5'8, Mitch Moses is our halfback, Gutherson's our fullback, you don't know what you're talking about, Gutherson's knees are fine, blah, blah, blah. Next minute he's having surgery. It's a blow for Parramatta because Parramatta are light on stocks. They have one of the worst back lines in the competition and they're just not in a good place at the moment. And it's also a blow to the NRL because Gutherson is a guy who you either like or you loathe, right? And I'm in the band of I like Gutho because he gets under people's skin and I don't know why. This is a guy as well who average talent, 100% hard work, commitment, work ethic, everything that you want about a rugby league player. Clint Gutherson reminds me of a 1980s player. He's just pure hard work, determination, grit, not a pure athlete, not the fastest, not the strongest, you know, but just wants it. So it sucks to lose. Like, it sucks to lose any player to injury. There's probably like 3 or 4 that I wouldn't care if they never came back. But yeah, the King, gonna miss him.
He's a heart and soul of Parramatta, and he's been holding the club together for probably 2 years. He has done the right thing for himself and the club because this year's gone, let's face it. Unless Moses comes back and breathes fire, they're not going to finish high enough to cause troubles in the 8, even if they do make the 8. Gutherson, all the preseason talk was he was going to move to the centres because his body couldn't hold fullback anymore. And then that was quickly rubbished. And then we heard what you mentioned, that he moved to 5'8". They've got to protect this bloke because he's carried that club. He's not necessarily been their best player, but he's been their heart and soul for so long. And to see him the other night, he was struggling so hard at Manly. And I mean, this is a bloke who I joke people would die for the club. I doubt very much that he wouldn't. Like, he would take it as a... He'd go out and he's sore. I'm not happy to see that he's out, but I'm so happy to hear that he's getting the surgery because he was only one stepping the wrong way from ending his career and not being able to play anything, let alone football. Playing in the backyard, like, it's that bad. He was hobbling so bad. And it's not the first time. Last year, in the last game, I believe he had a shocking injury. So, good on him. Hopefully he comes back fit and firing and has at least another season or two in him. Mitch Moses looks like he's coming better than they thought and he's targeting Magic Round. So maybe Moses coming in will kick-start him a little bit. We'll see Arcee move the fullback. I don't know, but, you know, thoughts are with the King. I love that one with you. I'm very much in that. I love him. So hope we see him back sooner than later. And last but not least, young Lachie Ilias, fresh off a horror injury, unfortunately, being dropped from South. He made the scapegoat, let's be honest. Whether he deserved it or not, that's another day. Another argument for another day. He's been told to look around. It had to happen.
I don't think he's got a spot in the NRL next year. I think he needs to go and do a Brody Croft.
Yep.
Go to a mid-table Super League team and take them as far as you can and then come back. He was thrust into... Like Demetrio, he was thrust into... Demetrio got life without Reynolds, and he was literally life after Reynolds. Yeah. You know? That's the thing. Like, it's not as if he stepped into a scrub's boots. You're talking about a guy who's 35, 36 years old at the moment, and he's still one of the premier halfbacks in the competition. I mean, who would take him? Like, he's lazily been linked with the Bulldogs. Lazily been linked with the Bulldogs. He is not what they need. He'll get linked with the Gold Coast Titans. He's not what the Titans need at all. Other than that, maybe Canberra? Maybe back up to Fogarty? Bench option? I don't know. Maybe... there's not many spots for him.
the Roosters have a lot of money and need some players. And they've already come out and said that Sandon Smith's the future. Maybe Ilias plays a backup role.
Maybe Penrith came out. And so he's been linked with Penrith because you know that Brad Schneider's going to pick up a gig somewhere, probably, you know, because of the way that he's playing. He'll probably end up at the Dogs or the Titans. Lockie Ilias going to Penrith for a year would be pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's an opportunity in... We've seen... You know, Jonah Pezzett's gone down injured, which sucks because I'm a real fan of his. You know, Tyron Wishart has stepped in. Nico Hines stepped in at halves, and look what's become of him in Melbourne. So Ilias in Melbourne would not shock me at all. He was on a hiding to nothing coming in. He was, you know, South fans who were riding, what, five prelims or four prelims in a row, a couple of grand finals in that, lose Adam Reynolds, and they're being told, nah, it's all good because you've got this kid who's the next Adam Reynolds. There's no winning that. Even if he came in and was playing, you know, lights out football, you look up the road and Reynolds is killing it for Brisbane. There's going to be that hatred there from the fans. It's only natural. And I know Ilias didn't play particularly well last year. Against Cronulla, he tore us to shreds and I thought, oh, here we go. They've got this kid. I think he took him to a prelim the year before.
2022.
He's got the talent. But when Cody Walker stopped playing lights out football, Ilias couldn't lift them. As most young kids in their second or third year can't. I am glad that they've given him the option to look around. He's quite within his rights to dig his boots in and say, ah, no, you pay me. I don't think he will because I don't think he's that kind of player. I would not be shocked to see him go to England and really play well because he's got a lot of talent. We've seen it. It sucks to see the way it's ended for the kid.
Well, speaking of England, the only reason why he's been told that he can look around is because apparently South Sydney have won the race to sign Lewis Dodd. Now, I've seen people online bagging this out, and I don't know how you can be critical of it. South Sydney, one, had to do something. If they just stuck to their laurels and continue to do what they do, then they're just going to flounder. They've gone out and got the best halfback in England, best young halfback in England anyway. The kid's a tremendous talent. We've seen him tear Penrith up at Penrith and in St. Helens. St. Helens, yeah. I don't know. Like I think it's brilliant. I think it's absolutely brilliant that they've got Lewis Dodd, and I think it's a great move for him. And this is the reason why Ilias has been told that he can go. But again, if you're Ilias, you probably turn around and go, dig your heels in, play reserve grade, wait for Cody Walker to go. But, you know, he wants to be playing first grade football, go sign for St. Helens.
Completely fair. It's a tough situation for a young kid. Look, there's a lot of change at South. With Demetrio gone now, what's to say that Morris Hornby or Ferner don't say to Ilias, just cool your jets. I know you're injured. Let's see how you rehab. Getting around the club and we'll talk in the off season. And if you still want to go, you can. Well, say when Bennett doesn't come in and say, no, there's a reason I put that succession plan in. I can get him firing. So yeah. I don't think we've heard the end of it here, but I feel a little bit sorry for Ilias. I think he has been made the scapegoat in all this. Rightly or wrong, he's a halfback.
The other thing as well is he's rehabbing from a really, really nasty injury. And I know South Sydney have said to him, apparently, you can look around. If I'm him, I'll turn around and say, you know what? I'll take you up on your offer when I know what the future of the club is, when I know whether it's going to be Hornby next year or it's going to be Bennett or it's going to be Paul McGregor or it's going to be John Morris or it's going to be whoever it's going to be. Let you sign the coach for next year and let me have a chat to them. And if I'm not part of the game plan, I'll sign elsewhere. You won't have me next year. Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Knock On Podcast brought to you by Zero Tackle, your one-stop shop online for everything that you need. News, transfers, breaking news as it happens. Scott is all over Twitter at the moment, breaking news when it comes. He's got that website absolutely humming. We've got the best independent writers on the planet covering rugby league. And we have Dan on there as well. Dan, you're 20-1 every week. Just gets the heartstrings going, especially with the way that Cronulla are firing at the moment. What's coming up? What are you bringing to us? So I know to shut my browser down.
Look, it feels nice, mate. Despite the hate that comes from this side, whatever side it is when it's all edited together. I got Origin Watch this week. Last week, I had planned a Ponga versus Walsh argument. a thorough breakdown. I had all my points, and then Ponga got injured.
It's Walsh.
I was like, well, yeah, well, it was going to be Walsh anyways. But there was a good argument there for Ponga. And I thought, all right, that's out the thing. And then I put that Ezra Mann was definitely going to be the next man up. And Sam Walker came out and played one of the best games you've ever seen. So now I'm going to argue that those... So you got Tom Dearden, you got Ezra Mann, and you got Sam Walker. Derek Cherry Evans is 35, and Cam Munster is Cam Munster. You never know when the next man up's going to come, so I'm going to debate that. And go on.
Well, I mean, you're going to do Walsh versus Ponga. Why aren't you doing Edwards versus Teddy?
Well, I did that last week, and okay. it was pretty easy to say it's Edwards' time. Get it done, Maguire. But New South Wales have got one winger chosen in Brian Toto. Who will join him on the other wing? Well, I'll break it down. It'll drop very, very soon.
Brilliant. Can't wait to read it.